This is Unleashing Leadership, and I'm your host, Travis Moss. And welcome back to the team interview, where we are talking about our Just Cause project with our friends Kayla and Kirsten. And the season is coming to an end. This is the final episode of the team interview, and I truly hope that you've enjoyed hearing from our guests. I think that they are both amazing women, and I'm thankful that they are a part of this journey. Now, if you've gotten inspiration from this, if you've enjoyed this, if you're working on a just cause, maybe you've established a just cause, I would love to hear about it. If you want to go to our website at nqrmedia.com, you can go there. You can send me a message from that site. Let me know what you're working on. Let me know what you're doing. Give us some reviews. Give us some stars. Put it there. Wherever you want to put it, let us know. Because we might just feature that. We might want to take your inspiration and help that inspire others if you're interested. If you just want to let us know what you're doing, that's fine too. But if you're doing something amazing, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for other people doing amazing things as well. So let us know if that's you. Today's episode is going to be about work-life balance, and we're going to get the last thoughts from Kirsten and Kayla. So we left off with Kayla's observations on company culture. We're going to be picking up with our final thoughts. Yeah, I was thinking about work-life balance, and it's like, you know, how do you balance work and life? I used to think about that, and I used to say, okay, we want good work-life balance for everybody, but I don't know how to balance it, because if you love what you're doing, if what you're doing is a vehicle for you, and maybe you don't love the work, but you love the results of the work, or you love the fact that the work gives you opportunities to go do other things or whatever, right? But you're happy and you're enjoying life, and you know it's very positive, and it's you come to work and you love your work, or you love the results of the work, or you love the mission of the work or whatever, right? But whatever it is, there's positivity. You feel good about it. There's good energy.
It's interesting, though, when you talk to people about how much, like, why our culture is different. And I can say, you know, I love coming to work. I love the people that I work with. It's just different than any other place that I've ever worked before. And I'm energized when I get up in the morning. I'm energized about going to work. I'm energized about what's on my plate for the day and stuff. And I get really wrapped up in it. And you're right. Sometimes I forget what time it is. And that kind of thing. But the other day I had a conversation with someone who's thinking about changing jobs, and they're just like, you know, don't like it here. And I don't like it here. And I'm like, well, which one do you love? And they're like, I don't love either. I'm like, which one do you hate less? I'm like, how do you have that conversation? Right. And pick one. But, you know, I'm so grateful we don't have to have that conversation because our culture is different.
To me, work-life balance is I take that positive energy and I go home with it. And the goodness that I'm learning at work, the skills that I'm learning at work, the positiveness that's happening at work, the camaraderie, the teamwork, the communication, I then take that home and it becomes part of my home life too. It's not like, wow, I go to work and I communicate great and I behave really well and I'm everybody's best friend. And I go home and I destroy my family, right? And there's a lot of people who live in that weird kind of dichotomy. It does not, work-life balance to me doesn't mean that I go to work for 8 hours a day and then I turn it off and I go home. It's like that you have an opportunity to go to work, to work on yourself personally every moment, to achieve something, to help other people. You can take from that what you will, but if you take positivity from that, you then go home. You're positive, you're feeling like you've done something that matters, and you've learned some skills. You've learned how to lead a meeting better, which means when you sit down for dinner, you can talk to your kids better. You know, you've learned how to work on finances. And so when you sit down, you look at the checkbook and you're trying to figure out the finances, maybe you can do a better job, right? Like, you've learned critical, like if there's confrontation, how to diffuse an argument. Well, now when the kids are arguing, you can diffuse the argument. Like why do we have to look at the work-life conundrum as two very separate things that need to stay separate? If you can go to work and you can become a better person at work, a better version of yourself at work, why can't you take that home? And why shouldn't you seek that out? You know what I mean? Why shouldn't you seek out, I'm going to work someplace where I get to use every moment of my life? Because when we're miserable, when you have somebody who says, I don't like this job, I don't like that job, I'm just going to do one because I want to make the money. When you're miserable, you don't actually cherish like the good parts, right? Like there's a cloud and it steals it from you. So you don't get full usage out of that anyway. Everything's always bad. And like we need to change that so that I go and this is the good parts and this is what I focus on and this is what I get out of that. And then I take that home with me and it continues. Not like I go and it's miserable, so then I go home and if somehow when I go home, I'm not miserable. Because I can guarantee you, if you're miserable for 8 hours a day, when you go home, you're also miserable. You might think you're hiding it, but you can't. You know, it's like somebody who frowns all the time. You see it in their, you know, you can see the wrinkles on their face.
Oh, I was just thinking about, you know, just going back to the Just Cause. And if we're talking about like, what advice would we give? You know, what's our takeaway? What's our advice from this whole thing? I had a couple thoughts on that. The first one was, you know, just the fact that entering into a project like this is a really serious matter for all parties involved, right? Because you can't rush the process or the cause. It took us weeks to develop what we were working on, and it took a lot of input from a lot of people. You have to be 100% committed to the cause once you agree that it actually fits. It's like trying on new shoes, right? No, yes. And I think going through the process, one of the things that resonated with me was the fact that we were patient through the process. The fact that we took our time. We were open to criticism, that the cause can't just be one person's goal, that it has to serve others. And collectively, I think that we worked really hard on that. We have to be receptive to be able to pivot, which you did right in the middle of it. So that, I think, was key to be able to recognize. I thought it was heading in this direction, and then it was. Then we're not. And I think, lastly, you can't view the cause through a microscope or yours when you're doing this to us. It was a really high level project of, you know, telescoping out, you know, time and time again, backing way up and taking a high level view of what that we thought it was, and it's broad and purposeful. I just really thought that the whole exercise was really great, and I think we're going to do great things with it.
I think last thoughts is be willing and open for it to broaden your perspective. And, you know, if you think of a flashlight on low beam and that's how you're seeing right now, think of all of a sudden it being, you know, a spotlight that's opened all the way up. And, you know, it grows and grows, and be willing and adaptable to it and not assume, you know, the outcome from the beginning, but so that you are flexible to adjust.